When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, this is weird. Last time on the podcast, we were in Belgium and looking forward to a classic spring, already speculating about who looked on form for the Ronde and whether we were in for a wet Roubaix. Now, everything's changed, and even the idea of a grand tour with thousands of people, bikes and vehicles traversing the roads of Europe for 3 weeks at a time seems far-fetched. In the UK and elsewhere, domestic and grassroots racing has also suffered, with a range of events already falling victim to COVID-19. Maybe it's time for a rethink all round. If so, our first guest on this edition is well ahead of that particular curve. Alec Briggs has some big plans and very different thinking for this season, events permitting. I spoke to him ahead of the party to launch his Techers team. Remember when parties were a thing. Also on this edition, Ruler's Stuart Clapp, a man who doesn't really do social distancing, direct from his panic room near Southend. This is the Ruler podcast, supported by Lacca, bicycle insurance, powered by the community. Alec Briggs, you're relaunching, I guess, the Techers team this evening. By the sound of it, it's not going to be a standard team launch, is it?
No, you say relaunch. I never really properly launched it. I just kind of went, look, here's this thing I'm doing. And then I thought now was a good time to make it a bit more official, like have a website, show kind of what we're going to do. We've always said what we want to do in terms of change the game a little bit, offer cycling something new. We've been working on that for the last 2 years, and now it's time to like launch it and present it and just offer it out, from anything from like crazy weird videos, which are not anything like cycling's kind of had before, to just an interesting way to launch a kit and buy some merch and listen to some music, and yeah, just getting all my favorite loves of like music, cycling, cars, motorbikes, fashion, lumping it all in one night and going, I hope you lot like it, and if you don't, then I'm screwed. that's it really.
So what would you say is the difference between, you know, Techers and a lot of the other teams that are around at the moment?
I think the other teams I think they're following a normal pattern, and they've got a trajectory where they go, these are the races we need to go and do, which are like often, you know, Pro Conti races, UCI races, and we've got to go and get results at them, and we need to convince people to give us money to do that and hope that our results are enough in return for those sponsors to keep them on board next year. And I think we've seen from lower level domestic all the way to World Tour with like Tinkoff and stuff, that doesn't really work. And I think something needs to change, and for cycling to be sustainable, for like teams have got to start operating a little bit differently and making up their own content, and not just being dictated by the race calendar, but putting on their own things. They're bringing their own vibe. And you know what, you ever seen the movie The Warriors? You know how like everyone has their own crew and they've each got their own thing going for them, and you buy into which one you like? Like, I always like the guys with the baseball outfits and the masks and stuff, because I thought them guys look cool. And it's like, you choose what you think looks cool, whether it's the roller skates and whatnot. And I think people need to just start doing that. And how we run is how we run. And, you know, I just, as long as I'm doing what stays true to myself, I hope people like it. But I don't really care if they do or not. It's just, it's my outlet. It's cool.
But you're a serious racing team, aren't you? Because you're signing up, or, you know, you've got some really strong people riding for you this season, and you're pretty good yourself.
Thanks. Yeah, it's amazing who we've got on this year. And I think going back to what you said, how are we different to other teams, I'm trying to be rider first. I don't want the riders to have to fit the team. I want the team to be able to fit the riders. So if like Felix, who's just jumped on board, comes on and says, yo, I need to do a few crits to get me warmed up for like some track races coming up and whatever those goals may be. And we'll go, yeah, we'll go and hit the right races to help you get ready for your big goal. With Eleanor jumping on board, she didn't want to have the stresses of racing on the road and perhaps getting hurt like she did at Ride London. So she wants to come race with us where she can pick and choose what she does and have a nice sort of build up to Olympics, which is stress-free. And then also be in a good position to be like fighting for a World Tour contract post-Olympics in 2021. And the fact that, you know, we're a better option than any other UK, maybe not, but, you know, that's what she's been left with. But the fact, you know, she's doing that with us and we can help her do that whilst, you know, top tier, help her get to a World Tour contract and then help someone like Ewan, who's just turned 17, kind of stay in school, understand how to balance school, social life and cycling, also whilst trying to pursue World Tour dreams, then that's wicked. I don't think anyone else has got that flexibility. And that's what I take pride in when I want to help riders out and what I can offer to the riders coming onto the team.
The name Tekkers, it kind of comes from a sort of footballing phrase, really, doesn't it? About, you know, skill and technique. And that's actually important about your riding and this kind of ethos of the team, isn't it? Because it's about not just the power output and the aero kit, it's about being able to ride a bike and having fun riding the bike.
Exactly. Something I really want to do is encourage younger riders to stay in the sport and enjoy it. And I feel like what I noticed was a trend of younger riders. Like when I was 15, I was riding on borrow bikes, aluminium, this and that. And, you know, times have changed, of course. And it is like that is like 10 years ago. But still, like the kit and the money I see getting chucked at, like coaches and the pressure to be the most aero and the fastest and have the biggest wattage or whatever, FTPs, I don't think that's necessarily healthy for young kids whilst growing up in the scene. I feel like if everyone was on the same bike and they were learning how to race whilst focus on getting themselves aerodynamic and strong and not worrying about their kit and getting unfair advantages over kids who haven't got as much money, the sport would probably be in a better place. And I think you'd probably build maybe some better well-rounded individuals who could then go and deal with the pressures of cycling there and there on. And yeah, by promoting Tekkers and saying, look, worry about your technique, worry about your skill, learn how to be efficient, focus on taking as much speed as you can out of a corner rather than wasting energy trying to catch back on. And if we can teach that to them now, you know, they can learn all the aerodynamic and like buy all the watt saving socks and all that stuff later on. But let's teach them the core basics now and forget all that stuff and just let kids have some fun.
Because you can win races with skills, can't you? As much as you can with power.
Yeah, all the time, man. Like any race I've won, I'm not the strongest guy in the race. I don't think I've ever been the strongest guy in the race. I've never been that strong. But I just take pride on being efficient, using my head, getting myself in the right position, winning races like that. And if you can teach that to a kid and teach them how to finesse everyone, like say if like Ewan, right, he's 17 right now, he learns a bit more about positioning and stuff and whatever. Say he's in like a break at like under 23 world champs or whatever, and he's not the strongest guy in a race, but from learning riding with us that he's how to save his energy and kick out of a turn and take carrier speed, come the end of the race, it's a level playing field, he could win that sprint, you know. It's just, well, I just love the idea of that.
Because you beat Fabian Cancellara the other weekend, didn't you? And he can ride a bike.
He can ride a bike pretty well. I think he might have had too big a gear on, but yeah, fair play to Fabian. He really got stuck in. He even got crashed out and got back up and got back on. And I was like, this guy's in for it.
And that was a race, an indoor go-kart track or something. Was it a fixed gear race?
Yeah.
It's
called Rad Race Last Man Standing. So it's an elimination format, aka Devil. One out every lap. And you go through 180 riders. 10 start in each round, and you go down until there's 8 riders left in the final, 16 laps, last one out wins, essentially.
And that's not a traditional race, is it? That's not the sort of thing that people are used to competing in, or that the sport's used to promoting.
You know what, I too have my ideas on how cycling should be run. I don't see the point in the mass road races we have televised on TV right now. Like I don't really get it. That's just me. I love like intense, short criteriums. I think they're more spectator friendly. I think they're more sustainable. I think you can generate revenue and sponsors a lot easier for them. And something that like fixed gear racing has done is captured that short, intense chaos. And spectators love it. My friends that are not into cycling love it because they can see it unfold in front of them within the space of 10 minutes, half an hour. And it's just, yeah, Rad Race captures that beautifully. It's people inside a go-kart track, the vibe's cool, the music's cool. It's very obvious what's happening. It's short, it's intense, and everyone walks away having a wicked time.
Now, you mentioned Eleanor Barker, who's riding with you this year. She can't be here today because she's unwell. But you're Felix English as well. Felix is here, isn't he?
Felix. Let's grab Felix. You know what, actually, so currently we're at like Levi's right now, and they're kitting us out for the year, which is sick because they help sponsor the team. And I think he's in there trying on some jeans. So I'll tell you who we could get in. Ali, do you want to come have a chat?
Welcome to the Real Air Podcast. First of all, what's your full name?
Ali Sheehan.
And how did you get into bike racing?
So I used to be a runner, and someone was like, oh, come ride bikes. So I was like, okay. So my first race that I ever did was around a go-kart track. So I've been racing since I was maybe like 14, so quite a long time. Yeah. But it took me a while to find kind of my niche, what I really like doing. I did like the classic of like doing everything for a while. And then last year, I saw that someone called Harriet Owens was doing some racing over in the US. And I thought, that's pretty cool. Like, I want to do a bit more of that. So I guest rode for a team called Butcher Box over there and did a load of crit racing for 6 weeks. And it was mega. Yeah.
That was something that instantly I thought was the coolest thing. Ali was just like, yeah, I'm just going to go take myself and do these races I want to do. And independent boss. I just thought that was wicked, and I would love, you know, for Ali, one of the reasons we brought Ali on, not just because she's a wicked racer, but because she can help teach younger girls how to go and do that, and yeah, just help us run some training sessions on go-kart tracks and smash it up on cornering. It's just perfect fit. So yeah, sick to have Ali on.
So is it mainly the crit racing that you're keen on and good at?
Yeah, I mean, as I say, I've done kind of everything, but that's what I like, that's what I'm good at, so I may as well smash it up. When Alec was like, so what do you want to do this year? I was like, pardon? you don't really get that with teams so much, just that it's kind of like a mix of bike racing and creativeness that comes together in this awesome fusion that just allows you to be the bike racer you want to be.
Yeah, I think her and Honor together as a pairing. Honor quite new into the sport. Ali's been in it a bit longer. They've both got their own experiences and they're both wicked. I think them as a double team, and then you chuck Eleanor in there as well. I think in terms of building a team that's built by women and is women first and not like a men's team just trying to shoehorn a women's team in.
Yeah, that does seem to be one of the appeals of crit racing as well, that it's popular with a lot of women because it seems to treat the riders equally, doesn't it?
Yeah, so when I was racing in the US, all the prize money was the same. I think it's quite an attainable event to train for if, for example, you're balancing loads of things, like you have children or you have a full-time job. You can train to race really hard for an hour and to nail it.
Thank you, Ali.
Do you want to bring Felix in? Because I think he's done changing jeans now.
So we have actually now been joined by Felix English. Felix, first of all, congratulations, because after the weekend, you're now qualified to go to Tokyo for the Olympics in the Madison.
It wasn't expected. Like, we've been working towards it for a few years, but the odds were stacked against us. But things just went right, and we've done it. So we're happy, boys.
No, that was the maddest race I've ever seen. I had anxiety watching that from how quick it was on the front. It was dumb.
It's the kind of race that, like, if you put one foot wrong at any point in the 200 laps, you're done. Like, it's just so hard now that you can't afford any mistakes. And we just had one of those rare occasions where everything just goes right and happened at the right time for us, and we're lucky, but again, like, so excited.
We were talking a little while ago about kind of bike riding skill and how important it is. And actually, watching the World Championship over the weekend, there was some slightly dodgy riding going on, wasn't there, some of the events?
It's got worse, really. It's got that hard. Like, you see some of the guys setting new world records, and it's like, they've pulled away from the rest of the bunch, and it's just like, people aren't able to compete with that at the moment. So, like, people take more risks, and they're more tired. So it's chaos. It's just been chaos, and the Worlds wasn't too bad compared to some of the World Cups where we've had six crashes a race. Like, every time you make a change, you're just expecting someone to, like, come underneath you or hit you from behind. But no, the Worlds is okay. It was only one crash, and it was because of mechanical. So we were lucky there as well.
Apart from Tokyo, what are your plans with Tekkers for the season?
Well, we have, I don't think I've announced the dates yet, but we have Tour Series in May.
And you'll be riding the Tour Series in Tekkers colours, will you?
Yeah, yeah. That's my first time. Oh, I'm back in the Tour Series for the first time in, I think, 4 years. Like, I used to race with some other UK teams, but my first time back in it again. I'm looking forward to it. I needed that kind of a break away from it to, like, refresh and look at different things. But also hope to get on the track with Alec as well. Like, he was over in Mallorca with me a few weeks ago, and we were on the track together. So hopefully we can venture out into the track together and get some Madison done.
And I think one thing we need to remember is that Felix has always been so sick at riding a bike. And it was like, even like, I remember watching him, I was like, Nocturne in, like, was that 2011?
Yeah, it would have been, yeah.
Yeah, that was, and I was just like, rah, guys on rails. So, like, yeah, you were saying the other day, it's like, oh, I'm worried about getting more, like, cornering back. Yeah. I was like, trust me, 5 laps in, be fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, it's crazy. It's perfect for Tekkers to have someone like Fuchs on the team, man. I'm really looking forward to racing with him. Should be sick.
And what was, from your point of view, Felix, what was the appeal of joining an outfit like Tekkers and riding with Alec across the season?
Well, I've known Alec for a long time, since we were like, what, 13, 14 years old?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
So it was someone I can trust, which is nice. Like, it's quite rare in the cycling industry sometimes. And then I got kind of a bit bored, really. Like, rode for UK continental teams or whatever, and it's just like, it's the same stuff every single year, same people, and it's the same approach to everything, whereas Alec's taking a completely different approach. And it's like, it's more exciting, it's more fun. It's got more offer to, like, the athletes, but also, like, the sponsors as well. Like, it's more exciting. So I'm just looking forward to doing something different.
So it sounds like exciting plans then, Alec, for the year ahead.
Yeah, it is. I haven't been this excited for a year in a long time. And the last 2 years have been a bit of trial and error. I feel like now I've finally got the vision, kind of done enough work to realize how it's actually going to play out. And I'm excited for this year. Racing-wise, results-wise, you know, in terms of helping kids, helping women, you know, like starting a women's team, I think everything's going to come good. It's going to be a cool year.
Enjoy the party tonight.
Thanks. I'm just annoyed you can't be there, because I know you'd be like fully rocking out. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So my name is Oren Peleg, and I'm an investor in Leka. 3 things that really caught my eye. The first one is they're looking to change the insurance industry, which is a very large industry and I think needs change. The second thing is I'm deeply passionate about getting people onto wheel. We need to address our congestion and pollution crisis, and I believe that two wheels have a massive role to play in that. And the third thing is I can see a growing trend around companies building on the strong communities that they have. And I think Lacka's business model in the way they tap into the community of cyclists is something that's very much on trend at the moment.
And you can find out more about Lacka's approach to insurance on their website, laka.co.uk. Now, Stuart Clapp, you weren't on the last podcast. A lot of people were worried that you were self-isolating, but happily you're not. At least you're not yet.
No, I've been self-isolating for years. It coincides with me starting a freelance career. In fact, I've just come back from a self-isolation ride because it's really sunny and I thought I'd make the most of it while I still can.
Well, that's what's happened in Italy as well, because I was thinking, oh, well, actually, if we get locked down, we can still go out for rides on our own. But in Italy, it's very strict. You're not allowed to go out, partly in case you fall off and then take up the time of hospitals and paramedics.
Yeah, that's right. It's I was going to get my high horse then, yeah, but there are more car accidents. But I don't want to be like, but yeah, I think we might be training indoors before too long, which will send me absolutely mental. I don't really like training indoors, but it feels weird, like moaning about it or trying to like stay away from it. It's like trying to moan about the weather. There's not much we can do about it. We've just got to ride it out and sort of the irony of riding it out. We've got to just sort of really look after ourselves as best we can, look after people around us, and just sort of mindful that if we are training inside, that we're not overdoing it. Like, the thing with endurance sport is that there's that old adage, isn't there, is a fine line between an informed cyclist and one that's poorly a lot of like endurance exercise and all this sort of stuff that we do in our sport takes a whack on your immune system. So I'm actually being quite mindful not to overdo it. Like, I think it'd be one of those things where I'm trying to make the most out of riding outside when I can, but I don't want to overdo it and then put a strain on my immune system and then open myself up to getting poorly.
And in terms of injury, I'm far more likely to injure myself falling off rollers at home than I am actually out riding on the road.
I've got a mate that, right, so seriously, this is true. It's going to sound like I'm making this up, but he can fall off of all sorts of stuff. He once broke his elbow wheeling his bike across the road. He fell over his bike, right? Fell over, broke his elbow, right? So on his rehab from recovering from it, I shouldn't laugh. This is Schadenfreude, right? But I shouldn't laugh. But he, when he was trying to get fit again, he obviously couldn't ride his bike because he had an arm in plaster, right? So he went out and he has got his turbo trainer in his shed, right? So he's got flat pedals. I don't know why, but he's got flat pedals on his turbo trainer outside in the shed. And he walked down his garden. You know, when you get like wet, the grass is wet, so your trainers get wet. So he got on, was doing that, and he was sprinting. He was doing intervals on his turbo. And I don't know how he managed to do this, but he slipped off the pedal, kicked the quick release open on his turbo trainer, fell off and broke his other arm falling off inside his garage.
I think it's a lesson for all of us there. And of course, Premiership football has been cancelled as well, although that doesn't actually affect Millwall, does it?
They've cancelled the Championship, but Millwall are in sniffing distance of the playoffs. And I think, I mean, I've heard of some conspiracy theories before, but it's gone a bit too far just to keep Millwall out of the Premier League. But, you know, I don't know, mate. I wouldn't write anything off at this stage. I was having a chat with one of my mates earlier and he was like saying about what's going to happen to the race and are they going to be postponed or what, thinking that I would know. I wouldn't know anyway. They're talking about postponing the Giro, Tour de France is then. The welters, then you come out of that, you've got, you know, the world champs, and then it's the, you know, it's kind of like that's how the season's put out. So I don't know where you just slot in a 3-week grand tour in this, but and also if they do slot in a 3-week grand tour, what's riders' forms going to be like? Is it going to be, if they do get it in, are we going to have a rider that's going to be, you know, completely like, unexpected to win it, or, you know, might, you never know, Bardet. My boy might win. He might win something. If it works for Bardet, it works for me. I don't know. Very, very uncertain times. We're talking about this, but we are talking about people that, you know, that are really unwell or are losing family members and dying because of this. So I don't know.
Well, fingers crossed for the Ruler Classic. Hopefully things might be a little bit clearer by then. Not much social distancing goes on at the Ruler Classic, really, does it?
No, definitely not. And that's why I love it so much. No, yeah, that's in November. So hopefully things would have leveled out a little bit by then. But I don't know. It's like, how long's a piece of string at the moment? I don't know. Like, my little boy's loving it. Because he's going, we're closing the school yet. We're closing the school. So he'll think it's great for a little while, but the self-isolation and this staying in and lockdown stuff, he'll be over that within a few days, I'm sure. And I was telling him to go and enjoy school today because it might be, you know. I feel like I haven't really said anything on this podcast other than I don't know. But I think that might match everyone's opinion about the world at the moment. It's really difficult to make plans. Like, I got like press trips cancelled. You know, Contador's bike company, a bike that he's been doing with Basso, there was a press trip launch for that at the end of April. We were supposed to be going to Mallorca and then they cancelled that, and I'm supposed to be going to Mallorca at the end of next week with the boys for our annual cycling holiday. Some of my mates call it a training camp. I call it a cycling holiday. If you call it a training camp, it's a bit weird because it's just basically a lad's holiday, but with bikes, and that's how it should be. That's been cancelled now. The hotel sent us a message saying that the hotel is now closed from the 16th of March until whenever. It's really weird. Like, you know, Adam Blythe has got his Chapter 3 kit launch, and to do that, we were going to make some content where I was going to ride Paris-Roubaix with him and David Miller, and well, that's not happening now either. So it's like, it's just things that you've really looked forward to are now not happening. And that's not just me. That's probably every cyclist listening to this is going, yeah, I mean, I had that planned. That's not going to happen because it's mass. you know, mass participation, whether you've got like prior I'll say it like Sean Connery, but it's like, yeah, anything, if you're doing the attack and things like that, what's into those things? There you go.
All right, Stuart, stay safe. Anyone listening to this, I hope you also find a way to keep riding somehow. We'll be back soon with something to talk about. And there's a Rouleau Long Reads podcast in a week's time.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.